Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations. That's who Jesus is. Now, you can find all kinds of pictures of Jesus on the internet, which have all kinds of depictions of Jesus. You can find hippie Jesus. You can find Democrat Jesus. You can find Republican Jesus, NRA Jesus, Greenpeace Jesus. You can find all kinds of different pictures that depict Jesus in certain ways to fit people's ideas and their agendas, using Jesus to support their ideas. But what we find in the scriptures is not hippie Jesus, not Democrat Jesus, or Republican Jesus, or Greenpeace Jesus, but Jesus, Lord of the nations, beautiful Savior, Son of God, and Son of Man. Today we read about the divine Son of Man coming in all his glory. Matthew chapter 25 says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." That phrase, Son of Man, is a special term, and we find it used in the book of Daniel. And I want to share that passage from Daniel and see how it describes the divinity of Jesus. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Jesus, true God and true man, coming in his glory. Now this past Tuesday, the adult information class looked through what we call the two natures of Christ. We talked about the human nature of Christ and the divine nature of Christ. And some of the passages in Scripture we see depict Jesus in his humanity. Jesus wept. Jesus was hungry. Jesus was thirsty. Jesus suffered as a human being. But we also see in the Scriptures references to Jesus and his divinity. Jesus is not merely some good prophet or political figure, but rather a true God. True God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Colossians chapter 1 says these words: "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." John chapter 8, Jesus really angered some people as he spoke these words. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is using that phrase, "I am," which you see Moses hearing in the Old Testament in the burning bush. God says, "Tell the people that I am has sent you." And Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is true God and true man, and he is coming with all his glory to judge both the living and the dead. Question for you: what do the following people have in common? George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Brad Paisley, Obama, Trump. Who's the guy with the ducks and the beavers? I don't know if we want to talk about the ducks and the beavers today, but we also have Willie Taggart and Corey Hall, Elvis Presley, Keith Urban, Adolf Hitler, Mariah Carey, Justin Bieber, Vladimir Putin, Dallas Dubke, and put your name in there too. What do all these people have in common? They will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every last one of you. All of us before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14 says these words: "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." It's the sobering words. People think about how the end times might be, but the reality is that when Christ comes, he will judge the living and the dead. That includes you and me, no exceptions. Matthew 25 continues and speaks of our Lord Jesus. Matthew 25:32 says, "Before him, Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. So that's an interesting picture that is used in the scripture of the sheep and the goats. And I wonder, any of you work with sheep or goats before? Sheep or goat people, couple of you? Well, sheep or goats, sheep and goats are interesting. I usually just see them at the state fair. But some of you see them working with 4-H, and you know about sheep and goats. And from a distance, if you don't know about sheep and goats, they might look similar. They might look similar, and sometimes shepherds would actually put the sheep and the goats together as they were out to pasture, but then would come the time when the sheep and the goats would be separated. There are some distinctions between sheep and goats. Minor distinction is a goat's tail generally tends to go up while a sheep tail goes down. When it comes to grazing, a goat is rather, what's the word, not picky about what it eats. Goats will chew on just about anything. And sheep prefer nice grass. Goats tend to be rambunctious. You think it's difficult to herd cats? Well, try herding goats. I mean, goats are very independent creatures, and they don't like to follow, whereas sheep are more following creatures. So it's an interesting thing that there is this analogy of the sheep and the goats, and there will come a time when the sheep and the goats will be separated. But I will tell you this, that when it comes to the final judgment, I don't want to be a goat. You ever remember that song? I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. There's a verse that says, I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Because they have no hope. I don't want to be a goat. So this is a sobering thing. And the question would be, what is up with these sheep and the goats? What's the difference between the sheep and the goats? Well, let's continue with Matthew 25 and take a look. Listen to the words that Jesus speaks to the sheep and then speaks to the goats. First of all, Jesus speaks to the sheep and he says, and he will place, it says in the scriptures, he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then he speaks to the goats, Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. I don't want to be a goat. Nope, I just want to be a sheep. But there's something troubling here as we look at this passage of Scripture. If we look at this passage of Scripture, it sure looks like the sheep and are going to be saved because they're doing nice things for people, because they're doing good works. And it looks like the goats are not going to be saved because they're not doing nice things for people. But wait a second. If that's the case, well, what about the grace of Jesus Christ? What's going on there? And frankly, if we are to be doing all these nice things for people to be saved, then you know what? It's time for us to leave church now. I'll stop my sermon right now, and we can all go out, get changed clothes, and go out and help lots of people, because we need to get moving and help more and more people so that we can make sure that we're sheep. All right, you ready to leave? No, let's stay. Let's continue talking. So what do we do with this, though? It's almost as if we're saved by good works. But I believe there's something more going on than merely one is doing these works and another is not. I believe there's an element in which the sheep have a relationship with the shepherd. There is faith that the sheep have that the goats do not. Because the scriptures make it clear that we're not saved by works. Look at these scriptures. For example, in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So there's an element of faith. Without faith, is there really any truly good work? Because as it says in Romans, listen to these words from Romans. Romans 14:23 says, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." So if there's no relationship, if there's no faith, then all those good things, they don't really count for anything. For as it says in Scriptures, all the good works, and this is apart from Christ, all your good works are like filthy rags. Filthy rags, worthless, nasty trash that needs to go into the garbage. And this is apart from Christ. So there's an element of faith going on. There's a relationship that the sheep have with the shepherd. Listen to Augustine, one of the church fathers. And Augustine says this, "Not that you may say, before I believed, I was already doing good works, and therefore was I chosen. For what good work can be prior to faith? When the apostle says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin." You see, there's a lot of people in this world who might be doing nice things for others. You can see that. There's a lot of non-Christians that are doing nice things for people. But before God, they count for nothing. It's filthy rags. Because whatever is without faith is sin. And so the key there is the sheep have faith given to them by God. And then from that faith come the good works, which are truly good because they are done in the name of Jesus Christ. So the goats do not have a relationship with God. Notice what Jesus says to the goat, or notice what the goats say back to Jesus. Matthew 25:44. "Then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to me." So what I believe is going on there is the goats now, at the last judgment, when it's now too late, are going, "Well, oh my goodness, if we'd known that it was Jesus, oh, of course we would wanted to serve, right? If we'd known that it was the king who's going to judge us, we don't want to make him mad." And so I think the goats are looking at it from that standpoint, going, "Well, man, oh man, I wish that we had served this judge and king. But now it's too late." Jesus says to the sheep, and he says in Matthew 25, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So why are the sheep blessed by the Father? Because of the faith given to them. And the sheep also have a similar response to the goats. And they also ask the question, "Well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see you in need?" And Jesus gives the same response. He says, "Well, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." I believe what's going on in that situation, though, is the sheep are just doing what sheep do because they're serving out of love and gratitude. And they're, in some ways, maybe surprised that by serving, just doing what they've been doing, serving their neighbors, that they, in effect, were also serving Jesus. It's almost like, wow, we were serving Jesus? We were just doing what we were called to do. But in so doing, they end up serving Jesus himself. Sheep have been given the faith, and then from that faith come the fruits of love. As Galatians chapter 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." 1 John chapter 4 says these words, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And as 1 John chapter 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." We love because he first loved us. So the question for us today is, in view of the faith that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit, how might the Lord lead you and me to serve those who are around us? In Bible study, we talked a little bit about this, about serving within our vocation, about the opportunity to see who is around us and to ask the Lord, Lord, how would you have me serve this particular individual? How would you have me to serve? And watch and see how the Lord will guide the conversations that he has given to you and be available. Say, Lord, I want to serve. I might be a little nervous. I'm a little scared and not knowing exactly how to serve, but Lord, show me, teach me, and watch and see how the Lord will lead you and guide you as the shepherd guides his sheep and lead you to different situations in which you have the opportunity to show love to one another, to show love to the people around you in the community. And who are the least? Well, look around. We see a lot of opportunities for service. I pray that the Lord will give us wisdom as we would serve. And in so serving others, then, we have the privilege of serving our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's blessings to you as you go forward this week. And may he guide your conversations and your interactions with people. And watch and see how he will be at work in you, a sheep of the Good Shepherd, saved by his grace and saved for a purpose, to his praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.